can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey, and today we're going to switch things up a little bit in that the first movie we're talking about is actually currently out on DVD, not currently out in theaters, but you'll see why in a minute why we're talking about it first, in that the first movie is Thor Ragnarok. So Thor Ragnarok is the third in the Thor films, and the I have no idea even what number in the Marvel Cinematic Universe films. In this movie, Thor starts off by beating a fire demon guy and then heads back to Asgard, where he finally figures out that Loki is actually Odin, or that Odin is actually Loki, that Loki is pretending to be Odin. How he didn't figure that out in the supposedly roughly like 2 years or so that it's been, where they don't really get into, but he finally figures out that Loki is pretending to be Odin and demands to know where Odin is. So they go to Earth to try and find him, but he's not where Loki left him. And in trying to find him, they first meet Doctor Strange, who sends them on the right path. And then they find Odin, who tells them that he's dying, and that as he's dying, their sister, who they did not even know they had, is coming. Their sister is Hela, the goddess of death, and she's Odin's firstborn child. And she was very powerful and killed a lot of people, so that Odin eventually had to lock her away because he couldn't control her power. But now that he's dying, she will be coming back, and she will be trying to either take over or destroy Asgard. So we then do immediately get to Hela, and Hela, in the first instance, is too much for Loki and Thor to handle, and she actually sends them off the Bifrost into a totally different planet, where Thor is sort of taken prisoner and forced to kind of compete in these sort of gladiatorial games against the Hulk. And that's not really a spoiler, because that was in, I think, pretty much all the trailers, the Hulk busting into the gladiator arena and all the armor and everything. So Thor now has to deal with finding a way to beat the Hulk, to get off this planet, to get back to Asgard, and to stop Hela from basically killing everyone on Asgard or completely destroying it. So that's sort of the setup of the movie. This movie, it looks at times a lot like Lord of the Rings. And you get that even from the very first. The sort of fire demon guy that Thor defeats at the beginning before you even get the title seems a lot like the fire demon thing that was in, I believe, the first one that took Gandalf down off the bridge. And spoilers for Lord of the Rings if you haven't seen those. But I had a hard time watching it, just thinking, wait, we're not alone. Okay, are you sure we're not? And then when you get to Asgard, there's a part where a lot of Asgardians, to escape Hela, go up into a mountain and go into a cave that has these really, really large stone doors. And those look a lot, they just reminded me very much, again, of the first movie where there's the stone doors that Gandalf can't quite figure out the puzzle to get in. And so they just sit outside for a while trying to figure it out. And then there's the whole thing with the creature in the lake. But it's just like, what movie? What movie are we in again? I'm a little confused. But this one, this Thor movie is a bit different from the previous two Thor movies, but in a good way. The humor in this movie, it's quite fun. It made me laugh out loud a number of times, including again in that first scene with Thor and the fire demon, where it's hard to tell how serious Thor is even taking it, because there's a moment where he just sort of keeps going, wait, hold on, and comes back around to talk. I'm trying not to spoil it, but it was so much fun. And the moment where Thor meets Hulk is kind of funny. There were just a number of moments that I laughed out loud, and it felt different from the previous two Thor films, possibly because it was more of a just adventure battle film and less of a romantic angle, which I think is, it goes along with, I think, where Marvel's starting to go in whatever phase we're in now. But it also matches better with the Iron Man and Captain America films, which had their love stories, but then sort of dropped them a bit after the first film and then went way much more into the action-y era. Save for Iron Man 3, that was also a lot about him and Pepper. But the first two Thor films with Thor and Jane, it felt, and I remember thinking this at the time, that of the main Avengers that got their own movies, Thor was probably the one where girls might actually drag their boyfriends to instead of vice versa, because Chris Hemsworth is a very, very good looking guy, and he was very sweet and romantic and just charming with Jane in the first two films, to the point where it's just like, oh man, that is dreamy boyfriend material right there. Yeah, we have to go watch really hot dreamy guy just for 2 hours. Let's go. Whereas the other ones felt a lot more just, like I said, action film. So it seemed that guys might be dragging their girlfriends to that one. And I don't mean to be any gender stereotype, just as far as demographics go. But with this one, because we're now getting into this new era where there seems like a gazillion different Avengers and you have to see all the different films, for Thor to sort of maintain a place popularity-wise with that, I think they felt they needed to shift that. And I believe there was also something with Natalie Portman and not wanting to come back for the film, so you really couldn't have that love story anymore. This one, it definitely was like, let's completely change things up. You start really getting rid of most of the people you recognize from previous Thor films. Like, Natalie Portman's character is not in this, and her intern, Kat, I forget her last name, is not in this, and Eric Selvig's character is not in this, and we have some of Thor's friends, the Three Musketeers or whatever they were, but they get dispatched very quickly, and we don't even see Sif, and it's just like, so we're kind of clearing the board from all the previous Thor films to go off in a new direction. In the same way, and this I think was also in the trailers, Chris Hemsworth no longer has the long Point Break, as Iron Man made the comment, hair. It gets cut off in this film, sort of again very much signifying, okay, new direction. That was the old Thor, this was the new Thor. But I think for people who really liked the previous two Thor films, they might not like this one. It feels a bit different. It's definitely changing characters. It's changing, you know, what Thor now is and what Thor's priorities are and what Thor's trying to do in the future will most likely be different, even in his individual films, if he continues to have them. So it might throw some people off. I thought it was fun. I kind of actually really liked the changes, just because, again, the previous ones, he was great and romantic and dreamy, but beyond that, it was just sort of dull. Like, beyond the being really sweet, dreamy boyfriend material, the best part about the previous two Thor films was sort of the conflict with Loki. But that can only go so far before it's like you really should have learned from previous mistakes and moved on. And you do sort of see that in this film. Loki is there, and you see Thor has a somewhat new way of dealing with his brother than previously. And he has a new way sort of dealing with almost everybody than previously. So, and given what we're going to talk about in the next film, it definitely seems like maybe that previous conflict won't be happening going forward. So I don't know where they're going with the new films. I like Thor Ragnarok. I like Thor Ragnarok the best of the three Thor films. I even like Thor Ragnarok better than some of the other individual films. Although, and I believe I mentioned this in the Black Panther episode, I previously, before Black Panther, had not seen anything after Captain America Civil War. I have since then seen only... I'm sorry, before Captain America Winter Soldier, I have since then only seen Captain America Civil War and now Thor Ragnarok, so I'm still completely not knowing much about Ant-Man and Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, so I can't judge compared to those, but Thor Ragnarok, I think, is better than at least one Iron Man and at least one Captain America, I'll say that. So I'm kind of excited to see if they can maintain this really good feeling going forward. The director for this film seems like he has a good sense of humor, and he actually voices a character in this movie who was one of my favorite characters, just because like everything he said was wonderfully funny without necessarily meaning to be. It was adorable. So I'm excited to see where they go forward with Thor and the side characters like Korg and Meek and Valkyrie. So in fact, Valkyrie is actually a really interesting character. And we didn't actually talk too much about her, so I want to talk about her just right now for a moment. She's played by Tessa Thompson, who is doing a sort of British accent for some reason. I don't believe she is British. She was born in LA, and she hasn't had a British accent in previous things that I've seen her in. But supposedly, I don't know, maybe everyone in Asgard is supposed to be British or something. Not quite sure why she has that accent, and it's a little off-putting at times. But she shows up when Thor arrives at the planet once he's fallen out of the Bifrost, and she is actually the person who ends up putting him in the situation where he winds up in the gladiatorial arena. And she's clearly got a back history even before we know what it is, because she drinks a lot, and it seems like she's drinking to forget. And Thor tries to connect with her, and she just wants to have nothing to do with him whatsoever. But she is actually pretty awesome. Her back history, when we get it explained, okay, it kind of makes sense as to why she, you know, wants to drink to forget. And there has been talk of maybe Valkyrie getting her own solo movie, which would be interesting. But she just, even I kind of like her almost as not quite the Asgardian version of Black Widow, because they're definitely different characters, but in that sort of like really kick butt female sidekick sort of role, who has her own sort of smart sarcastic one-liners that she can throw out. She's really great for that. She takes on Loki at one point and comes out pretty well with that. She's just not really to be messed or trifled with. But I actually like her more before she gets into the sort of Valkyrie stage. And that's a little hard to explain if you haven't seen the film. She's at one point, she's known as Scrapper 142. And I kind of like her a bit more as Scrapper 142 than as Valkyrie, just because there's a whole history with Valkyrie and what that means and what she's sort of tied to, what she's sort of sworn an oath to or something. And as Scrapper 142, she's just out there making her own rules and doesn't take anything from almost anybody. And that's a bit more fun because she gets to be more, I do what I want, and if you get in my way, I will hurt you. Whereas by the time we get to Valkyrie, it's a bit like she's a bit softened, and I'm not sure I want her to be softened. I like how strong she is against Thor, and I don't know that I want a relationship there, and it's totally fine to just have male and females without having to put them in a relationship. Please, it's fine. It's okay. Men and women can be friends, despite what When Harry Met Sally says. But Yeah, I don't know. I definitely want to see more of her. I definitely, definitely want to see more of Korg. He's just fantastic. So yeah, we'll see how that goes going forward. So yeah, stay tuned. We're going to take a short break.
Watching TV has changed over time. Streaming has become the new norm. That's why Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast dives headfirst to the world of cord cutting. Want to be on the loop of what's hot in Netflix? Or if it's not a preference, what about original shows in Hulu? We've got you covered. Join us as we fill in the blanks and talk about movies to stream and what show you should be binging. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast.
Welcome back. You're listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast, and our second film today is Avengers Infinity War. Now, normally, because this is such a big blockbuster film and it's currently in theaters, this would have been the first film we talked about, but since Thor Ragnarok came before it, both like actually came out before it and story-wise also happens before it, I decided let's put this in the real story order. I think if you hadn't seen Thor Ragnarok, at the beginning, you might be a bit confused as to what happened to Thor and where did Loki come in here and how the Hulk and all that. But if you quickly just get to, okay, there's things I don't understand and move on, I don't know that there's too much it would have affected the story otherwise as far as you understanding it. And it's now, we've seemed to now have gotten to that point where if you haven't seen every Marvel film before the Avengers, you have a very good chance of being confused somewhere. So before this one, I think I mentioned earlier, I haven't seen the Ant-Man film. I haven't seen Spider-Man Homecoming. I haven't seen Doctor Strange. The last one I saw before Thor Ragnarok was Captain America Civil War. So I was a bit confused in this film where we get to Wanda and Vision and how that happened, because last I knew, wasn't Wanda in prison or what? Like, we've definitely gotten to the point you cannot just watch only the names of your films. You cannot just watch only the first two Avenger films and go into Avengers Infinity War and understand it. It just, you will have missed so much and so many characters that you'll just be like, who are you and how did we get here and what happened to so-and-so and wait, what? Which, look, I get why they would do that business-wise. That makes a lot of sense to require that you see all these things, so therefore you have to pay the money to see all these things. But I'm kind of really annoyed that you don't all, like, they're not all called under one title. Captain America has his own films. Iron Man has his own films. Thor has his own films. They're not all considered, oh, now the Thor Volume 2 or whatever. So the idea that I have to see all of them is just a little frustrating. But, Avengers Infinity War also is frustrating for me because it doesn't quite end. And I'm going to try very hard not to spoil things here. There is already been assured a number of films that will come out after Avengers Infinity War, including Avengers 4, whatever that will be called, Black Panther 2, the Captain Marvel film. So, you know, certain storylines haven't ended yet. We're going to continue doing something. And I'm just sort of like, can we get to an ending? Is Avengers 4 going to be the end? Like, I kind of just want to end this story and move on with my life before you just drag this out too much and it stops becoming good. But I highly doubt that Marvel is anywhere near that thought process, so it's not going to happen. In this film, Avengers Infinity War, the Avengers have to come back together to stop Thanos, who is collecting the Infinity Stones to try and wipe out half the universe. It starts off almost immediately after the credit sequence at the end or middle of Thor Ragnarok, with them coming upon Thanos' ship and Thanos trying to get the Infinity Stone that is in the Tesseract. He then sends out his various children to find the others, because at that point he only has two and there are a total of six. So he knows that there are two on Earth and two out there elsewhere. And so he and his children sort of split up to go and find and get the others by any means necessary. And so you have a lot of Avengers in this film, and yet surprisingly not all of them, even not all the ones that have their own individual movies, but they're often in separate spaces. So there's a team dealing with the battle on Earth, but then there's another team that's gone off and is on a planet. But then there's a third team that's gone off and is on a different planet, and they kind of meet for a moment and then split up into different teams and then go off again. So I would certainly hope you weren't going into this as your first Avengers film, because you'd be completely confused. But if you do at least know who each of the characters are and their most basic of powers, even if you haven't seen the other films, you're probably pretty okay. There's probably a couple of things like how Vision now looks human that I'm completely not sure about, but mostly story-wise, you're pretty good. And even throughout the film, save for the stones themselves, which I confuse very heavily because there's six of them and they're like power and time and soul and reality and I think eternity and something space, they're confusing and I'm not sure which one's which, but it doesn't matter too much so long as you can kind of keep track of which ones Thanos has. You don't need to know the specific stones themselves, just which ones he has the power over and which one he doesn't yet. There's also a lot that's a little strange in this film, and maybe it's because the filmmakers definitely knew, oh hey, there's going to be another one after this. There are several characters in this film who should have been killed probably several times over by Thanos, and yet for some odd reason keep being alive, even though the battles, and it's like, fine, I get your superhero and have superpowers and have been through, you know, really tough battles that would kill a mere mortal, but I'm pretty sure you should be dead like by the third or fourth time by now. Like, how are you still living? And it doesn't, in the same way in the first Avengers film, where it wasn't explained how they could hear each other talk. We didn't see them get given earwigs or communication devices or anything. They just could somehow hear each other. In this one, no matter which planet they're on, they seem to be able to breathe. Even though some of these planets look like they don't actually have an atmosphere or don't actually have a non-damaged atmosphere. And evidently, no matter what your species, you all can breathe together. That's fine. Whatever. We're just not going to explain that. Go on. We have a lot of movie to get through. Continue. I don't know why. Marvel's just like, whatever. Continue. And again, they do have a lot to get through. There's a number of people in this film. I believe on the poster there's 20 or 24 different characters. And again, that's not all of them. There are a couple who have a throwaway line of, oh, they're not here because they want to spend time with their families or whatever. But yeah, there's a lot to follow. There does seem to be this one of the driving storylines is that between Gamora and Thanos. Because Gamora is Thanos's adopted daughter. And that was explained in, I believe, the first Guardians of the Galaxy film, that she was taken from her homeworld by Thanos and sort of forced to work for him and to be his almost, not executioner or assassin, but had to do a lot of things she's not really proud of and got that really terrible reputation of killing a lot of people in service of Thanos. And she really dislikes him and wants to destroy him, or at the very least stay out of his clutches. And that comes up quite a bit because Gamora is the only person who knows where one of the stones that Thanos is looking for is. And so it's her having to deal with this man who both killed half her world, but also at the same time raised her as his daughter, and so her feelings are a bit conflicted with that. And it feels a lot at times with the whole I raised you to be a killer thing, very similar to sort of Hela and Odin that we saw in Thor Ragnarok, the film we talked about earlier. But it also feels a lot at times like a Greek tragedy. And without spoiling, I'll just say it's like Agamemnon and one of his daughters, but I won't spoil which one because that would kind of give away the storyline. But it does feel at times like we're doing Greek tragedy in space. And okay, I kind of just half expect like Deus Ex Machina to happen any moment now, but whatever. You all breathe in space, so maybe that's the Deus Ex Machina. Who knows? There's also trying not to spoil certain people who show up. There's a character that Thor has to go to for some reason to get a new hammer. And I love that actor and playing that part. Although, again, that also felt a lot like Lord of the Rings, a lot like The Hobbit, actually, in that there's a dwarf with a forge and we have to restart the forge. And I'm like, wait a minute, are we fighting Smaug over again? And we're going to pour molten gold on him? What is going on? That's not what happens. But it did feel at times, and maybe this is just everything having to do with Asgard is sort of Lord of the Ring-ish or something. But for some odd reason, Thor does decide that he needs to go off and get a hammer, even though we did just literally in the most recent film, Thor Ragnarok, say you don't actually need a hammer. Spoiler, sorry if you haven't seen Thor Ragnarok, but you did listen to the earlier part maybe. So, but it's just like we're kind of undoing certain things there. Or we talked about in Thor Ragnarok how Thor Ragnarok definitely seemed to be putting Thor's story on a different direction than the previous two films. And Avengers Infinity War kind of seems to be doing the same. The ending is controversial. And if you haven't seen the film, don't look up anything about the ending because it will definitely spoil what happens. And that's frustrating on both sides. On the one hand, you don't want to be spoiled going in, but on the other hand, the ending itself did frustrate a lot of people. So that it's like, you're just, even if you go in unspoiled, you may not leave this film being happy. And there's clearly some larger plan going on because that is just how Marvel works entirely. They've got this planned out for like 5-6 movies in advance or so. But for you, the viewer, that's not helpful because with all these storylines, a good number of them either don't quite end or don't quite end well, or you don't really have a conclusion, I will say, at the end of this film. It is definitely setting up for Avengers 4, whatever that's going to be called. It's not like the first two Avengers films where, okay, we've got these people who have these powers, but that Avenger we just dealt with is good. We're fine. We feel we've solved that. We're moving on. That's not how this film ends. You most definitely have not solved. And that really annoys me because It often seems that when filmmakers or studios make sequels just to make sequels because the previous one was such a big hit, that at some point they do, it's not as good. I haven't seen, for example, Godfather 3, but from what I've heard, I really don't need to, that one definitely did not match up to the first two, and that, you know, making another just because the studios really want that second or third or 20th or whatever we're on now is not a good enough reason to do that. You really do need to have a good idea and a good storyline and a good way to do it. And I'm just worried that Marvel is going to try and suck as much of this out of it as possible, and that they'll go too far and won't know when to sort of end things while they're still on a high. And then that will sort of taint the memory of previous films for me. If I see one that's really, really bad. And it's just like, oh man, we started off so good and this became a great thing. And now we've got all these superheroes and oh, you ended so badly and everything previous is just reflected in that bad ending. And I can't think of it without thinking of that bad ending. And it makes me a little sad. So I do really, really hope that Avengers 4 ends the Avengers thing, unless they're going to start having like a whole new set of Avengers. I know that Robert Downey Jr., who plays Iron Man, and Chris Evans, who plays Captain America, have both really sort of expressed their interest in, or not expressed their interest, I guess I shouldn't say that, but that both are really sort of feeling done with playing those parts and want to move on and do other things with their career and aren't really interested in coming back for future films. So Avengers 4 might be the last for them, and I don't really expect to see another Iron Man or another Captain America film unless, and they do this in the comic books all the time, unless those roles get passed on to someone else. We do have a future Black Panther, it has already been stated, a future Spider-Man, I believe. Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming out soon. So we have, and Captain Marvel is coming out before Avengers 4, I believe. So we do have a whole different set of Avengers we can go forward with if the original few decide they don't want to do it anymore. And if that's a new phase, then it feels kind of good to just sort of stop with this phase and actually have an ending and be done with an end well, so that we don't have that whole, you know, retroactive bad feeling about the films. And I really do hope they do that. So tune in next time to the GSMC Movie Podcast. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.